Welcome to Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast.
Hi.
Hi. Here we are.
We solved the mystery on the last one that it records before you hit continue to the recording.
That's it. Did we solve that? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I really don't remember.
So welcome. Welcome to Coaching and Cocktails.
Yes, the podcast, in case you forgot. It's been a long time. Don't call it a comeback. All those songs.
Yeah. The podcast as opposed to the movie. This is not the Netflix series of Coaching and Cocktails yet.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
I'm sure.
Do a movie about us? Because they should.
They just did the documentary on the LuLaRoe leggings. I watched that over the weekend.
Oh, what was that about?
Oh, that's a hot mess. You should watch that. It's, you know,
multi-level marketing. Was it like something like talking about how it's all a bunch of bullshit and multi-level marketing pyramid scheme shit?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually pretty interesting. It's like the people who created it are kind of characters, and it was how the whole thing came to be such a frenzied fad and became such a mess, and how so many people have lost so much money and all these lawsuits. And it's interesting. It's interesting. It's painful to watch.
Anything from LuLaRoe. Never bought one thing.
I have stuff, but I also don't need to get involved in the weird cult. So anyway, everybody watch that. It's a fun documentary.
Have you watched Clickbait yet?
Yes. In fact, I
haven't watched it because we are racked and stacked on shows that we have to finish before we can start that one. So.
Oh, it's pretty good. I think I'm halfway through. I'm not really sure because I fell asleep last night. I thought I had finished it and then another episode came on. So it's pretty good. It's interesting. It's interesting.
And are you caught up on Nine Perfect Strangers?
No, because I feel like that's one I have to binge. I binged the first four that came out. And then I'm just not good at the weekly series stuff.
It's tough, but I use that because it comes out on Wednesdays. That is my walk on the treadmill days. So I'm just like, that's my just do a little bit of cardio kind of day. So I'm like, that, I watch it on Wednesdays. But yeah, no, you're right. It's but it's so good. So good. Because I know it's been a while since we actually talked about shows and stuff that we were watching. So
yeah, I'll have to, when that finishes, I'll have to finish the last four. I'll tell you what I've been doing recently as of this morning. Have you heard of the Murdoch murder cases that are happening now in South Carolina? So this might ring a bell. It was in national news in June where this predominant South Carolina family, the mother and a son got shot. Mm-hmm. And then just recently, last week, the dad got shot in the head.
No. Okay. So maybe I don't know about this.
Well, so it's going on right now. So he got shot in the head. I would say it was like a week ago. He got shot in the head. He lived. Then it comes out he was scamming all this money from his law firm. But the family is like just one of these ingrained South Carolina. They held like the DA position for 85 years.
Like a longstanding family there.
Right. So I'm listening to this podcast, getting the whole story, and there's all these murders tied to this family, on and on and on. So the family had all these murder mysteries to begin with. Then the son allegedly killed this girl in a boating accident in 2019. Then this year, the same son and the wife get shot in the head. And then the dad gets shot in the head in air quotes just recently. It's really interesting. So it's a case going on right now that, I mean, I'm going to have
to check that out.
There's a podcast about it. So it's the Murdochs. It's a really interesting true crime going on live right now.
All right, I might have to check that out because I'm still following Something Was Wrong weekly.
Mm-hmm. That is
just batshit crazy.
And you listen to Bad Bad Thing, right?
I listen to Bad Bad Thing, which is really crazy. And I just stumbled on the 2020 for that and started watching it last night. So,
oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize there was a
dateline. And there's a dateline, and I was looking last night for something to watch as I was falling asleep because it's always like 2020 or dateline. And I stumbled on the dateline from it, but it was a couple years ago.
Oh, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. So it's called The Affair. The 2020 episode's called The Affair. And I didn't even realize that's what it was. So I clicked on it. I was like, oh, The Affair. Okay, I'll watch this. And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay. This was just from Bad Bad Thing podcast. So.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. What got me about the Bad Bad Thing podcast is you hear this woman's like hidden diary tapes that they discovered after she was dead. And you kind of follow her losing her grasp on sanity live. Yeah. And, you know, you and I talked over email, like I got her in a lot of ways, right? Because I had a husband who had a very blatant, humiliating affair. And like listening to this woman talk out loud as she's going through this, I'm like, it doesn't sound as crazy to me as somebody who has been that, like I never killed anybody.
I mean, but you didn't take it that far, but we,
I could see how it happens.
Surveillance, you and I, right? So we've done some surveillance back in the day. I could 100% relate to that spiral, that desperation, that, you know, when you're just not in a great headspace about yourself, and then you have a significant other cheat on you or leave you or whatever in the fuck, right? Ooh boy. I mean, it was hard because God, yeah. I mean, I could totally relate. I just felt so much empathy for her.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, like he didn't just cheat on, like he fucked with her head, which is a lot like my situation, right? Like we got back together and he was still seeing her and I didn't, I mean, like it was very reminiscent of my experience. I mean,
did you listen to the end bonus episodes? I really liked when they did the interview with the psychiatrist and and him, and how she basically sort of, I mean, she wasn't like, she didn't completely put him on blast, but she was like, yeah, you kind of lacked empathy here and like you kind of contributed here. And but he seemed to take it fairly well. So, I mean.
Yeah, he seemed to understand at the end of the day, it was his fault. Mm-hmm. So anyway, bad thing podcast, highly recommend it. It's definitely like a study in psychology. And I think a study in like how women, I don't know, get done wrong, you know?
Well, just, yeah. And I mean, if you listen to it and you think of it in the wrong context, you're just gonna be like, oh, just another crazy bitch. But if you kind of, I don't know. I think other women could, you know, any woman who's ever been in a situation even remotely similar to that can relate, right? And can empathize. And if you can't, then I don't know, there's something else going on with you. But
right. We're good on you. You've lived a charmed life.
Yeah. So what else has been going on before we jump into like other stuff? So we both have, did you finish reading What Happened to You?
I did. I listened to it.
Okay. It's so much better listening to the Audible, although I do now have the hard copy. So What Happened to You, in case you guys don't know, by Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry, MD. Mm-hmm. And I highly suggest the Audible version because you get to listen to it in a very conversational tone between Oprah and Dr. Perry. And I will say it was probably the most profound. And I feel like I've said that about a lot of books like Rising Strong and Burnout and like some of the other books that, you know, we've read and we've talked about on the podcast. So we will do a whole podcast on this book.
Yes.
But I'm going back through it. I'm listening to it for a second time and I'm sort of, you know, noting stuff as I go through it because one, I'm fascinated by, you know, I'm fascinated by the brain, the neurology of it, right? So the science of it. And then of course the psychology of it, you know, the science, the physiological aspect of it, the psychological aspect of it. Kind of like it just, I don't want to give the whole thing away, you know, for anybody who hasn't read it, but, incredibly profound, I think, in explaining how we as human beings respond to stressors in air quotes, right? Or, you know, different events and how we just life in general, right? And based on whether, if you want to call them, you know, traumatic events or adverse childhood events, the ACEs, things that you wouldn't even think of, like before you remember shit you wouldn't even know happened, because it's when your little brain was developing all the way back to even being a fetus inside your mother's belly, and things that could happen. So anyway, just incredibly, incredibly profound. But for me, I have to read it. I think we talked about this, like going through it like three separate times. Cause the first time it was all shock and awe, to be honest. Like the first time through, I was like, I was just kind of like, oh my God, this is the most profound and painful and thing that I've ever read. And most of it, I think I ended up absorbing from the perspective of being the mother of a child who had emotional and behavioral issues growing up, and seeing how he grew up in our particular family unit could have contributed to that. And I think we'll talk more in depth about that when we do the book. But now I'm going back through and listening, because I also want to understand it from my own perspective and how I respond to things. And from my, perspective of like my parents raising me, even all the way to my grandparents raising her, also raising me. And also to help understand behaviors in my clients, so I'm really trying to look at it through 2, 3, 4 different lenses, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a study more than just a book. I found that I had to stop reading it a lot and just digest some things, or I'd get through like one sentence and have to spend a day pondering one sentence of it. Because it's very science driven. And I actually had a conversation with somebody recently who we were talking about the book. And, I said something about the part where they talk about children are affected. If your family unit breaks up, children are affected from a scientific level, right? Scientifically, things happen to their brain.
Physiological things actually changing physiologically in your brain structure.
And that's not condemning anything. These are just facts.
Right.
And this person had children and had been divorced. And she then tried to argue. She's like, well, but I dated great guys and remarried a great guy. I was like, that's not the point. Right. That's not the point. You have to accept the science for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think as all of us, even with ourselves or other people, we try to do that. Like, well, this might be the fact, but I want to make this fit my situation so I feel good about it.
So I feel better about myself. Yes.
Right. But you just have to understand the facts of the situation. I mean, like they give a vignette about a guy with PTSD, and just, he talked about how he didn't want the PTSD and it shouldn't be still affecting him and this and that. And it's like, well, that's not the point. It's already in your brain.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And once you start to accept some things as fact that are built into your brain, then you can change them.
Right.
Just wanting to not. I think
it's so profound, right? Is that
it's really good.
If you're even a little bit open to understanding the science of it,
right?
Physiology, because I do think it helps when you take out all the
emotion,
the squishy emotional stuff, and you just say, okay, this is the fucking science. Like, this isn't up for debate. Like,
right.
This is an actual thing. Your brain is how your brain develops is how your brain develops, and things that happen to you, right? So basically the premise of the book is to stop looking at things as what's wrong with you, or what's wrong with me, or what's wrong with him. It's what happened to you,
right?
What happened to me. And yes, as far back as when our little tiny brains are developing in utero, period. Mm-hmm. It is just science, right? So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it does make it makes it easier to digest it. But I think in some ways it also makes it harder to, I was all in my feelings about, I mean, I had a lot of realizations about, my own son and the things that, he dealt with. But then, also trying not to beat myself up for it, because we're all just doing the best that we can. But then being able to also understand it, recognize it, and realize it, and know that you actually can fix it, right? Mm. So understanding how the brain works physiologically, how you end up with different behaviors and things based on how your brain developed physiologically, and then understanding that it can be fixed. I mean, like there's hope, because it's not like I'm just fucked up forever, because you don't have to be. Because just you can physiologically program your brain to be one way, you can also reprogram your brain to be another way. I mean, the science says so. So you can't, it can be, so it can be done.
Well, and that's the whole point, right? Like, once you understand why you do the things you do, then you can adapt that behavior.
When you know better, you do better.
Yeah. So super good. Highly recommend it. What happened to you?
All right. So let's give everybody a quick update, because we have had lots of people waiting on the edges of their seats for a Fit Fanny update. So if you have not listened to the Fit Fanny series, the 8-part series, go back and listen to it now. Push pause. Do not listen to the update. Go back and listen to all the episodes. But I've had a lot of clients reach out and like, oh my God, what's the update? You just left us hanging.
Yep. So
what's the update, Brandy?
Yeah. So thank you to everybody who's listened. And I've got a lot of great feedback on it too. And I'll just tell all the listeners that I was with Tiffany last weekend, and she still does not believe that anybody has ever listened to it. And I try to tell her, I get feedback all the time, people being interested.
The numbers, right? Because again, like, the numbers don't lie. Like,
I mean, she's still, you know, she's still a little insecure about putting herself out there. So I wonder if that's part of the defense mechanism of, well, nobody's actually listening to it. So I'm like, well, that's not true. A lot of people have, and it's impacted them. So we left off, I believe, in June, and this is now September. And, you know, I'll be honest, as soon as we released the series, she stopped checking in pretty immediately. I was worried that would happen. And that happens a lot with clients, right? Once you release the pressure point or the accountability, it's kind of like the bird out of the nest, right? Either the bird's going to fly or the bird's going to nosedive. And that's one of the two things are going to happen. So she kind of immediately stopped checking in. I didn't press it, because at this point, people have to be able to manage themselves to a little bit. You know, I micromanaged very closely in the beginning, as you saw. She had to kind of make her own choices. But she kept on the program to a degree. Logging fell off, exercise fell off. However, the good behaviors didn't stick, but the bad behaviors didn't come back, which I consider a victory. So when we met last weekend, September 1st through the 6th, she had just hit her goal of 50 pounds, which I believe was
incredible. That's awesome. Yep. So that's great.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to get the numbers wrong. I think she started at 240 and she was like 188 last weekend.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, that is fantastic. So, you know, she's heading into a whole lot of stressors, and there's a whole lot of stressors and triggers and behaviors that contribute to not meeting your goals that she's at least kind of aware of now. And she's heading into a bunch of them. And, you know, she immediately kind of started like, well, I'm going to lose, you know, 80 more pounds in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after a lot of talking, I said, really the only goal between now and Christmas, when you go on school break again, is to maintain this. And for her, that's a gigantic, she said to me, I have never, ever in my life lost weight and not gained it back and then some.
Right.
So this is the longest she's held steady on a single weight, or to be like at least in a decline going in the right direction. And that's really the goal between now and December, because sure, could we set new weight goals? Could we set some training goals? They are not achievable for her in her current lifestyle. And she isn't at a place to make the changes in her lifestyle yet. So maintenance is the goal. So huge victory, hit the goal of 50 pounds. So we will check in at probably, honestly, at the 1-year mark, which would be in January. And I'm putting right up here publicly, the goal for her is to still be somewhere in the 180s, which would be an enormous victory.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment in and of itself, right? I mean, because that's learning to just stay steady, right? Like, it's not always gaining and losing and doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just living your life and maintaining, right, the best that you can, right, which is, you know, where a lot of us live. It's not like I'm not constantly trying to, and you just can't just keep losing weight forever and ever, amen, either. Sometimes you have to, like, take a pause and focus on some other things, and hopefully she just doesn't regress. That's cool.
Right, right. And like you said, like, a lot of people are in that cycle of, I call it, like, the 1 or the 10. You're either always at a 1 where you're living your best life and don't give a fuck, or you're at a 10 where you're in some deep diet.
Right.
Right. And people, she's one of them, likes to be either one or the other, right? Either
you gotta live at a 5. 5 is really a happy place, right?
And 90% of your life should be at a 5, right? Where you're just being as healthy as you can be. There's nothing drastic going on. You're feeling good about yourself. So that's what we're working on for the next 6 months. So we'll check in again at the 1 year mark. And that's where she'll probably be ready to go through another cycle of making some bigger changes. So that's the update on that. So you have a show update.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was great. Good job, Tiffany. So I look forward to another update in January.
Yeah.
So we just had another team show this past weekend. It was the OCB Apex Natural in Chesapeake, Virginia. So the Virginia Beach area. You and I went to that. It was one of the few shows we were able to get off the ground last year. So we did a show review of it last year. So anybody wants to go back and listen to last year's and then compare it to this year's, and last year's was right smack in the middle of the pandemic. And it was like one of the four shows we were able to have. This year, we're on the backside of the pandemic. I'm not going to lie. I was grateful that there was no mask mandate and where we were in Virginia, because I just didn't want to have to wear one all day. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we had probably one of our largest groups of clients competing. It was a pro and amateur show. We had 5 pros, which every time I thought about it, almost made my head pop off.
That's a huge number.
I mean, I will honestly say I've never had 5 pros in a show. Like, I've maybe had a pro per show. Right. Maybe. I don't think I've ever had 5 in one show. And I had 2 amateurs. So God, that was the easy part. Right. So, who do we have competing? So I'll just run down the list. We had, Olivia and Lindsay and Chris and Kelly and Tina were the pros, and I'll give little individual stuff on them. And then we had Charlene and Taylor as our amateurs. So I'll just give a quick logistics thing, just like we always do. So the promoters, Jackie and Magnum, I do want to give them, a huge thank you for, helping me out with some backstage passes. They were incredibly welcoming to myself and the team and everybody. I think overall they did a really great job promoting the show. It was a great venue. It was the same venue as last year. So it was the Croc Center there in Hampton Roads or whatever that area
was.
The venue was great. So the hotel was the same one.
Oh yeah. That was
I do believe it is still operating as a halfway house of some sort.
Yeah.
There were definitely people hanging out and hanging around, and there's a security guard there, and there's people that just sort of loiter in the parking lots and in the lobby, and it's fine. Like, they didn't bother anybody, but it's still just sort of weird. Nice. It's a little strange. But hotel wise overall, it was fairly, decent hotel, had everything that you need. Not super close to the venue, but it wasn't that far either. So it was fine. At least it was quiet. At least I did not have fucking road.
Oh God.
I mean, honestly, I was like, it's so quiet. And I was like right next to the elevator. I was like, I never heard anybody all night. So it was lovely in that respect compared to Baltimore. Tanning was not awesome again, but I actually don't think it was their fault. So I actually talked to Jackie when I was checking in, and I don't, whether they took our advice, because she did listen to the podcast last year, and she said, I look forward to listening to you guys bash us on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
I was like, I don't think we bashed you.
We don't bash. We
don't bash, but it's just, again, this is just our opinions, right? Other people may have a completely different opinion. So they did change tanning products. So they used Jantana this year. I can't even remember the name of the product they used last year. Like, I hadn't even heard of it. I think the problem this year was that the room they were tanning in, which was the exact same place they tanned last year, but it was 5,000 degrees in there.
So everybody's sweating.
Is the worst thing for a tan, because it will not adhere to your skin. So like if you've ever Because I know, like, whenever I have, when Yvette is doing tanning at shows, like, whatever room she's in is usually, like, 20 degrees. You walk in and you need a fucking parka because it's so cold. But that is the only way for a tan to really set. And I don't think this was anything in their control. It just happens to be where they were. It was just really hot. So I know that the tans weren't drying. So people were having to take a long time and things got behind. So a lot of our clients had to wait 2-3 hours for their tans. And I mean, I think overall, I would say at least, you know, all of our clients, I would say most of them, their tans actually ended up looking just fine on stage. Right. But I think it was just the process, right? I think things were a little bit tricky with all of that. But I think overall, most of them look pretty good tan wise on stage. We brought Cara with us to do makeup this year, and she just did an absolutely phenomenal job. The makeup was gorgeous. I posted that on social media. So a huge thank you to Cara for that. Like I said, the lighting at the venue was pretty good. The show was run very smoothly. I'll say everything ran on time, but I will say, and this is, again, this is just Tina's opinion, because I get, and maybe it's because I have to go to these things every other weekend, and Brandy, you can back me up on this. Mm-hmm. You can go every other weekend, but I think you will also back me up on this. I really don't want full stage walks and routines anymore, ever again in life. And I will say, when I was a competitor back 100 years ago, did I enjoy my 60-second choreographed stage routine? Absolutely, I did. As a coach that has to sit through these things on a regular basis, I don't want to do that anymore. I just don't want to. You know, it's so they, you know, they did allow people to submit their 60 seconds of music. So some people did full routine. Some people just got like 30 seconds to house music, which is what, honestly, what I prefer, just to make the shows go a little bit quicker, because these things, especially these big shows, can run like all day long, you know? And so, I mean, I didn't get out of there. We didn't get done with the amateurs till 8:30 maybe, because of that. Now, they ran it very smoothly. Like, they kept things going, but because you're allowing this like 1 minute per competitor and these long drawn out, thank you to 5,000 people in my bio, it, you know, it just makes it go on probably a couple hours longer than it needs to. But again, just my opinion. I actually prefer the shows now, you know, if any other promoters, not that if anybody cares what I think, I prefer the shows that give them 30 seconds of house music, a quick, your name, your age, maybe where you're from, right? And then you go out to the center of the stage, you knock out 3 or 4 poses, and you get off.
Well, that's all people need. Like, I understand if everybody wants their individual day in the sun. I mean, I won't lie, a big part of why I stopped competing after 2 shows was I hated that individual time on stage. Hated it. And back then it was...
A lot of people do.
Yeah, and back then it was even more. And there were, like, the actual Jim Acro routines. Like, I hated all of it. But I get how people want their second in the limelight. But I think I agree. There's like a happy in between of making it optional for people who want it, make it unjudged, and make it 30 seconds. Because I only logged on to look for like a minute or two because we had a very busy weekend. And people start just getting awkward and weird after about 30 seconds anyway, you know?
Right. And look, like, you know, I get it for like bodybuilding routines, honestly, like bodybuilding, if it's like, you know, if we want to leave like full choreographed routines for them, great. But stage walks, it just needs 30 seconds. You know, you go hit your 4 poses and then you get off, because some people drag it out. And then some people, like you said, some people get weird and, you know, anyway, it just drags the show on longer. Yeah. But that, again, that if I had to say anything bad, that's probably it. And but I also get the other side of it, right? Like giving the people their time on stage. So I can see it from all perspectives. All right. So did you get to watch any of our girls on stage? Did you see, or did you not actually get to see any of them?
No, because here's the thing, as a viewer on this side, you'd have to sit here all day.
Yeah.
Right. And I can't sit at my computer from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on a Saturday.
No.
So yeah, it's strange, but no, if I could do that, I would have just been at the fucking show to begin with.
Well, yeah. So, the pro competition was like, yikes, right?
It looked incredible. Yikes in a good way.
Yeah, yikes in a good way. It was really good competition. And here's the thing, like everybody's sort of, I think a lot of these pros are warming up for Yorton Cup, which is coming up on October 24th. So that is the big like shebang show at the end of the year. And so, yeah, so if this was a preview of what Yorton Cup's going to look like, then it's going to be really, really tough. So we didn't have anybody in pro women's physique. So I'm not, you know, I did watch the pro women's physique and it was really nice to see a really good competitive pro women's physique class because the open women's physique class was kind of like, but you know, it is what it is. So it was nice to see that. I think there were like six or seven pro women's physique, which is good.
Which is huge. I mean, that's
which is really good because that's dying, I think, in many ways. And then we had pro figure. So we had Tina, Olivia, and Lindsay all in pro figure. So Lindsay had just won her pro card at, I don't think, did we do a show review of the Pennsylvania show? I think we must not have.
No, I don't think we did.
So we never did a show review of the show 2 weeks ago, but basically Lindsay competed as an amateur and figure 2 weeks ago and won her pro card at the Battle of the Belt, the OCB Battle of the Belt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So she decided instead of competing as an amateur again at this show, she was like, fuck it, going to jump on the pro stage. And yeah. She could have because she has a pro quality physique.
She looked amazing.
So she was in a pro figure B class, which was, I think it had four women in it, all very highly competitive because she's tall. And she came in second in her pro class, which is great in her first pro show. In the pro A class, we had Olivia and Tina. Tina also competed 2 weeks ago in Allentown. That was a master's pro show. So she competed as a master's pro. So 2 weeks ago was her pro debut as a master's pro, I already forget her placement from 2 weeks ago. I have to go back and look at that. It's slipping my brain. But so this was her first open pro show and she placed fourth out of four. It was really, really, really competitive.
Yeah.
And while Tina has absolutely beautiful shape and symmetry, she's so nice, full muscle bellies. We just didn't bring her in lean enough. So I really think that's our big goal, getting her ready for Yorton Cup is to just really, I got to get her leaner.
And it's like, that was hard competition too.
It was.
So even being four out of four is still great because, you know, like.
Right. Because you have to consider at the pro level, everybody's starting over at the bottom, right? So everybody at the pro level has won an overall at a show.
Yeah.
Two, right. So they've been at the top and now you're talking about the top of the top. So somebody's got to go back to the bottom of the top. Right.
Right.
So it's like, Olivia won first place in her pro class. So in that same class, so she got first, Tina got fourth. And then in the B class, Lindsay got second. So what they do for pro figure is the top three from each class goes up against each other in the overall. So we had Olivia and Lindsay of our clients in the overall. There were six in the overall. Lindsay did not make it in the top three of the overall. The top three of the overall is who wins cash, right? I think it's like 1,000 for first, 700 for second, and I think it's 300 for third place from the overall. And Olivia in her pro debut, because this was her pro debut show, won second place. So she got $700, which maybe covered the cost of her suit.
good for her. That's amazing.
No, nobody does this for the money, in case anybody's wondering. It was her pro debut in only her third show ever. So she came in absolutely shredded. We brought a better package than when she was on stage 2 years ago. And I will say, and I'll post some like before and after pictures, like people really have got to understand what it takes to make yourself different between shows. You cannot compete year after year after year. And I will post pictures of her so I can show the little bit of progress she was able to make. And I mean, it's huge progress in putting it in perspective, but people think you're going to put on goo gobs of muscle in a fucking year and it doesn't happen. She took 2 years off and like literally ate her face off. I mean, she was up to like 3,000 calories a day. And it's uncomfortable sometimes to have to do that. Right. But I, you know, you and I emphasize all the time, like everybody wants to like constantly get on stage and you can't make progress that way.
Or constantly diet.
Constantly diet, constantly be lean, constantly get on stage. And for the little bit of prop, but she brought a completely different package. So that was great. So that was our pro figure competitors. And then pro bikini, we had Kelly. So Kelly Dickin, who we've done several podcasts about at this point. If you want to listen to her story, winning her pro card in her very first show again 2 years ago, she competed as an amateur earlier this year. What was it? 4 weeks ago, I guess it was.
Beginning of August.
Yep. At the Presidential Cup, she ended up in the overall, but didn't win the overall, but she won her class at that show as a warm up. And so this was her pro debut as a bikini competitor, and only her third show ever. And she had, there were four pro bikini classes. There was an A, B, C, and D. Her class.
How many competitors altogether?
There were five in each of the A and B, and then I think there was four in C and D, if I have that correctly. And so in the A class, her and Chris Fuste were both in the A class because they're little people. That's the short class, in case anybody wonders. They do it by height. Kelly placed fifth. Which is still, again, like we just talked about with Tina, it's still, I mean, in your first pro show, it's fantastic, right?
Right.
Yeah, does it suck to, you know, the reality is, well, I got fifth out of five. Yeah, well, again, every single person in that class has already won an entire show or two, right? So, it's nothing to snuff at. It's not doing bad in any way, shape, or form. And I think she seemed really happy with, I was pleased with how she performed. She always looks fantastic on stage. Her stage presence is beautiful. And she's just like, just the sweet. And you know, Kelly, you know, she's backstage like, can I help you with that? Does anybody need any help? Does anybody want anything? And I'm like, Kelly, will you just sit and relax? She's just always so, you know, wanting to, she doesn't like to sit around and, but you can't help but love her. She looked great. And then Chris Fuste, again, we've done a couple podcasts with Chris. She's sort of like our third sidekick at this point. We've done so many. But anybody who's listened to our podcast knows that this was, I'm going to compete, I'm not going to compete. I'm going to compete, I'm not going to compete. And we've been going through this for a couple years. She decided she was going to compete at this show. She had an absolute devastating family tragedy issue that happened in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we were back and forth about whether or not she should get on stage or not. And she decided to do it. And I'm really glad that she did. And she looked absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, she looked gorgeous.
This was her first time competing as a bikini pro. So Chris actually historically has competed as a figure competitor. She has competed as a figure pro, but she switched over to bikini pro. And it was perfect for her. I think she looked absolutely stunning on stage. She placed third in her class of five. So neither of our pro bikini ladies made it to the overall because with bikini, because they had four classes, they only did the top two from each class.
Yeah.
But they both did absolutely phenomenal. Now Kelly is done for the season. And Chris is moving on to Yorton Cup in 6 weeks. Olivia is moving on to Yorton Cup in 6 weeks. Tina is moving on to Yorton Cup in 6 weeks. And Lindsay, we're not sure yet. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Decide that later on today, I think. She wanted to see how she did as a pro and then decide what she wanted to do after that. All right. So that was our pros. Absolutely amazing job by all of them.
Yeah. Great job, everybody.
I mean, just if you want to see pictures of these ladies, you can follow us on social media on our Center Stage Athletics and Team CSFP page, our pictures. And then our two amateurs. So we had Charlene De Silva, who just finished her third of three shows for the season. And so she had done the Presidential Cup, She did the Pennsylvania show two years ago.
Also known as 2 weeks ago.
Ooh, I don't even know what day it is. 2 weeks ago, where, so in Presidential Cup, if you guys remember, she won her Masters Pro Card and came in third in the Open. 2 weeks ago at the Pennsylvania show, she won another Masters Pro Card, which isn't really a thing. You don't actually get more than one, so they actually made it to the second place, you know, winner. But she won the overall for that one and placed third in Open. And then in this show, this was the biggest, most competitive Masters class she's been in. So there were actually two Masters classes, and she came in second in her height class. The woman she came in second to in her Masters class actually won the entire show. The one
I saw her picture.
She won debut, novice, Masters, and Open. And
she looked amazing.
And then won, you know, the overall. So it's nothing to be snuffly about if you got second to her. She looked great. And then she also placed third in her Open class. Now let me tell you a little story about what happened. So, you know, anybody who's listened to our show reviews, we have talked about how placings get flip-flopped.
Yeah.
They should not be flip-flopped unless there's a really good reason to flip-flop.
Now, because the judging criteria hasn't changed.
Right. Now, if somebody legitimately comes out looking different in another class, right, which can happen, right? Okay. But let me tell you what actually happened. So she played, so the Masters class and then her like A class were basically all the same people. So her Masters A class and her Open A class, pretty much the same women.
Yeah.
She got second in the Masters class. She came in third in the Open class. So she flip-flopped with the woman who placed third in Masters, so then that woman placed above her in the Open. So out comes the Open class onto the stage. I'm sitting there, and there's supposed to be five, and only four women are on stage. And they're going, where's 69? 69 is Charlene. She's not on stage. And I'm like, it took me a hot minute, and I was like, where the fuck is she? So I literally have to sprint up and around the entire auditorium. I run backstage. She's in the competitor get ready room. And I'm like, you're supposed to be on stage. I grab her. We run out there. The expediter's paying zero attention. And she's like, what do I do? I was like, and I just threw her out on stage.
Yeah. How'd the expediter miss that?
Yeah. Well, I'll get to that in a second. So I threw her out on stage, and all she could do was kind of like jump on the end. Right. Yeah. And so she jumps on the end, and then I run down back to my seat. So I'm like sprinting around the auditorium, and it's packed. I get to my seat, and I hear the head judge, you know, say, oh, there's 69. I guess I'll have to change some things. I sit in my chair. Charlene literally was on the end, went through one round of quarter turns, and then they took them off the stage.
So had they already started judging, is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, they had already started judging just the four. I mean, I probably would have done things a little differently, especially if somebody, you know, had just made it out to the stage. It wasn't her fault she wasn't on stage when they started judging. Like, you kind of got to put her in the mix and make sure she gets judged fairly, because that's how she ended up flip-flopping placements with the girl that she had just beat in the Masters class.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. And I mean, shit happens. There's nothing we can do about it now. But I do honestly believe that was probably one placement I didn't agree with. I do believe she should have had second. I do not believe that the woman who placed above her, it wasn't that she looked any better. It wasn't a situation where all of a sudden in this class, the other woman looked better. It was not the situation. So I do think she got slightly penalized by the mistake, right? So apparently what happened was she came off stage from her Master's class. So after her Master's class, there was a B Master's class, right? And then they were going into the Open classes where she was Open class A. So there was one class in between. Her Masters and her Open class.
Yeah.
And the expediter said, no, she asked him. She said, when I came off stage from Masters, she said, do I need to stay back here? He said, no, go put your feet up backstage. So she went backstage and they didn't call her and she didn't make it to the stage in time. So she said that he profoundly apologized.
Yeah.
Came off, but unfortunately it was our, you know, again, shit happens. It's all human. Everybody's human. But I do think she got slightly penalized, not on purpose penalized, but I just don't think I don't think the judges had time to like rescore, because I think they had already kind of like did their placements and whatever happened. So that was unfortunate. But so she ended up again, like, so for her, this was the last show of the season for her. She came in looking the best she's looked. I mean,
she looked great. She
got leaner and leaner and leaner from show to show. You know, she won 2 Masters overalls in 2 of her shows, and she was in the top 2 or 3 of everything. So you can't complain about a season like that. She's got a Masters pro card to take with her at the end of the season. So that was her last show. We're going into her reverse.
Yeah.
All right. And then last but not least, we have Miss Taylor Turner. This was her very first show. I work with her remotely. She lives up in New York City. And let me tell you, Taylor has just worked her tail off, literally. She came in looking absolutely phenomenal for her first show. She lost 30 pounds since January.
Wow.
Yeah. When we started, she was a little over 150 or right around 150. And on stage, she was about 121. So
wow.
She was absolutely phenomenal. Her posing, her hair, makeup, suit. I mean, she was just stunning on stage. You would never know it was her first show. So she placed first in debut, in her debut class, which is for people who have never competed before. In her novice class, she placed third, so it was actually a really competitive novice class, and there were 2, so there was an A and a B. And then in her open class, of which there were 4 for bikini, she placed first. So she got to go in an overall in her very first show, and she was right there in the mix. I mean, you know, the girl that won the overall, I probably would have had somebody else win the overall, but again, you couldn't look at the lineup and you know, and not appreciate that any one of them could have won the overall. You know what I mean? Like, it really depends on my own personal judging. I would have had somebody else, but it wasn't like you look at the overall winner and go, oh no, that shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? Like, it was, they were all very competitive. But she didn't win the overall, but she came away with first in debut, third in novice, and a first place win in her open class, which is phenomenal.
Well done.
Of course, now she's all mad. She's like, now all I can do is open from here on out. And I'm like, yeah, that's the downside of doing so well in your first class. She goes, but the open is so intense. I was like, I know. And that's what happens when you do that good in your very first show. That's all you get to do now forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
So yeah, but she was just, I mean, if you went back and looked at any video or pictures, even Eric was like, you tell Taylor, like, she's got the biggest, most beautiful smile. And if you know how you and I have talked ad nauseum about, you've got to look like you are having fun on stage.
Yes. Every yes.
Service, I get it. But this girl, you could just tell it was
like, she's actually having a good time.
It was pure joy. I mean, just the biggest, most beautiful smile and just relaxed. And of course she practiced and practiced and practiced. So that's why she was so relaxed on stage. But man, did she was just great. She just loved every minute of it. You know, she's so
good at
every moment of her first show. You know, everybody did really well. And, you know, again, huge thank you to Cara for the makeup. She's absolutely beautiful makeup. And my friend Sara. So we had a Sara and a Cara. Sara came to help me be an extra pair of hands backstage in case I couldn't be back there. I was going to thank somebody else. No, it was just me. It was just me, Sara, and Cara.
You're just thanking yourself.
I'm just, and thank you to me, and a huge thank you to me. And to Kira with Vandella Costumes, because she actually did all of our athlete suits for this show. And they, I mean, every single one of them was just drop dead gorgeous, I think.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's great to leave a show and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I really do. I think everybody had a great time. So really, for, you know, Jackie and Magnum, great job at the show. I mean, I really, I have no complaints. Like I said, I think the tan was not their fault. I really think it was a heat issue. And I think for the most part, everybody ended up having their tans, you know, mostly fixed by the time they got on stage. You know, like nothing looked crazy. Nothing looked crazy on stage. You remember last year?
The red girl.
Really red.
Yes.
So they actually changed the lighting and they took the blue lighting out and made sure it was all white lighting. So, you know, again, so I think they did take some of the feedback or they probably noticed it themselves, you know, when they were, you know, going back and looking at stuff. But really, I mean, no complaints. Like I said, my only complaint was a little flip-flop thing in the judging. But again, shit happens. And I could do without 100 hours of stage walks. But again, that's my personal preference. Yeah, overall, a really great show. Really great competition. I think the judging was really fair.
Well, congrats.
Yeah.
That feels good, you know?
Yeah. It was good. We got it. All right. So what do we have coming up? So we have, the next team event is, the OCB Chesapeake on October 9th, which I'm sure will also be live streamed. That is another Bobby Covino event. And we know that show will be great. He's back in his normal venue. Thank God. Cause it's a really great venue. So we have 3 weeks, just under 4 weeks for that, until that show. And we have, Taylor's competing there again. And I have Danny is competing, but this is her third show with me. She hasn't competed in a couple of years. We have Rachelle competing for the very first time. We have Amanda, who's going to be competing for the very first time. And who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. We have five. So Rachelle, Taylor, Amanda, Danny. Who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing, Brandy? So Amanda, Taylor, Danny, Stacy, and Rachelle. So Amanda and Stacy and Rachelle are all brand new. Taylor will be doing her second show and Danny will be doing her third show. So we'll have five.
Awesome. Well, we'll do a show update after that or a show
review
recap.
Yeah. A lot of these women are trying to qualify to do Yorton Cup. So as amateurs to qualify, you have to place in the top five of one of these other shows. So Taylor's already qualified, so she's good to go. So we're hoping some of these other ladies will qualify on October 9th. So, cause that's kind of like one of the last chances to qualify for the Yorton Cup.
Well, good luck to everybody.
Yeah. Anything else we need to?
Not for me that I can think of.
All right. So we gave you guys some books to listen to.
Some podcasts.
Podcasts to listen to. Some TV shows to watch. I think in an update on Fit Fanny. So go back and listen to that series if you haven't already. And then stay tuned for hopefully another update in like January.
And you know what? She has a Facebook page now that's connected to it. So feel free to Facebook message her as well to tell her that people are actually listening.
Oh yeah, for sure.
She could use that encouragement.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's a great idea. She probably really could use some encouragement. So check out, is it Fit Fanny Project? What's the Facebook page? I forget.
I don't know. I think it's that.
Right. I guess if you search Fit Fanny, you should be able to find it.
Yeah.
Right.
Fit Fanny Fit.
Fit Fanny Fit. Okay. So check out her Facebook page. Send her a message if you think she's doing a great job. Congratulations to all the ladies. Congratulations to the McCrays for another great show. And we will be back. Maybe we'll come back next week with a book review. Maybe we'll go ahead and do the What Happened to You book review. You want to do that?
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll do something. We'll figure out something to talk about next week.
Right. We'll be back. We will be back. How about that?
I think we're going to try to be back regularly again for the fall season. So, in case you missed us and if you didn't, here we are.
Too bad for you.
All right. So don't get weird.
Use your head.
It'll all be okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you like to stream your favorites. Bye.